理课堂听 class.com。
Violet, who was the eldest of the Baudelaires, stretched to place her hand on Klaus's stiff shoulder and held her baby sister Sunny even tighter, as if to communicate with her siblings without speaking. Esme's squalor was constantly talking about whether or not things were in, a word she liked to use for stylish, but the children were more interested in overhearing where the car was taking them. The hinterlands were a vast and empty place, very far from the very outskirts of the city, without even a small village for hundreds of miles. Long ago, the Baudelaire parents had promised they would bring their children there some day, to see the famous hinterlands sunsets. Klaus, who was a voracious reader, had read descriptions of the sunsets that had made the whole family eager to go, and Violet, who had a real talent for inventing things, had even begun building a solar oven, so the family could enjoy grilled cheese sandwiches as they watched the dark blue light spread eerily over the hinterlands cacti, while the sun slowly sank behind the distant and frosty Mortmain Mountains. Never did the three siblings imagine that they would visit the hinterlands by themselves, stuffed in the trunk of a car of a villain.
"Boss, are you sure it's safe to be way out here?" asked the hook-handed man. "If the police come looking for us, there'll be no place to hide."
"We could always disguise ourselves again," the bald man said. "Everything we need is in the trunk of the car."
"We don't need to hide," Olaf replied, "and we don't need to disguise ourselves either. Thanks to that silly reporter at the Daily Punctilio, the whole world thinks I'm dead, remember?"
"You're dead," Esme said with a nasty chuckle, "and the three Baudelaire brats are murderers. We don't need to hide. We need to celebrate."
"We can celebrate yet," Olaf said. "There are two last things we need to do. First, we need to destroy the last piece of evidence that could send us to jail."
"The Snicket file," Esme said, and the Baudelaires shuddered in the trunk. The three children had found one page of the Snicket file, which was now safe in Klaus's pocket. It was difficult to tell from only one page, but the Snicket file seemed to contain information about a survivor of a fire, and the Baudelaires were eager to find the remaining pages before Olaf did.
"Yes, of course," the hook-handed man said. "We have to find the Snicket file. But what's the second thing?" "We have to find the Baudelaires, you idiot,"
Olaf snarled.
"If we don't find them, then we can't steal their fortune, and all of my schemes will be a waste."
"I haven't found your schemes to be a waste," said one of the white-faced women. "I've enjoyed them very much, even if we haven't gotten the fortune."
"Do you think all three of those bratty orphans got out of the hospital alive?" the bald man asked.
"Those children seem to have all the luck in the world," Count Olaf said. "So they're all probably alive and well. But it would sure make things easier if one or two of them burned to a crisp. We only need one of them alive to get the fortune."
"I hope it's Sunny," the hook-handed man said. "It was fun putting her in a cage, and I look forward to doing it again."
"I myself hope it's Violet," Olaf said. "She's the prettiest."
"I don't care who it is," Esme said. "I just want to know where they are."
"Well, Madame Lulu will know," Olaf said. "With her crystal ball, she'll be able to tell us where the orphans are, where the file is, and anything else we want to know."
"I never believed in things like crystal balls," remarked a white-faced woman. "But when this Madame Lulu started telling you how to find the Baudelaires every time they escaped, I learned that fortune-telling is real."
"Stick with me,"
Olaf said, and you'll learn lots of new things. Oh, here's a turn for rarely ridden road. We're almost there.